Welcome to City Harbor Church, a safe place to find and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Ben. I serve as pastor alongside my wife, Rebecca. We're so glad that you would join us today. I want to start with a couple of quick announcements. 1 week from tomorrow, Monday, November 30th, will be the birthday of Abby. And so if you on our worship team and who is also one of the leaders of our church who does many things to help make it possible on a regular basis and who is expecting a baby boy. So if you get a chance sometime over the next week, tell her for November 30th, a happy birthday. So obviously this week coming up is Thanksgiving, and it is certainly going to be unique and different. And I know that you may be experiencing a variety of different thoughts or emotions. Please do feel free to reach out to us. We want to be the best possible support to you we can during this time. And don't hesitate to reach out. We want to be helpful in any way that we can be helpful, with prayer, with encouragement, with thoughts, with suggestions, activity suggestions, different things of that nature. And also, if you are in need of some support, so want to make sure that you are aware of that. This past week, because we are a church who believes in courageous generosity, and what that means is we believe that because God has already given us His best in Jesus Christ, that we can choose to live on less of our own time, energy, and money so that we can give to others. And you can help make donations. cityharborchurch.com/give is a great way for you to be able to make a financial donation to that end. Now, because we are a church who is generous, this past week we had two separate occasions. On Tuesday, we were able to take turkeys and groceries to 20 different families in need. I'm so thankful for Leah, who brought 20 pies to add to that. They were a home run. People were so excited about the pies. And then on Friday, we were able to distribute more than 630 chickens, 7-pound average on the chickens. And what a joy it is to be able to supply people in need. Now, this has been because since April, we have two Fridays a month at the YMCA on 33rd Street called the Weinberg Y. We have been able to bring groceries to hundreds of families since April, and it has been a wonderful thing that we are able to do. Your financial donations have helped make that possible. Your volunteer work has helped make that possible, and we are going to continue to work on that. Now, details have been, I know, a little bit hit or miss. That is partially because our distributor was not awarded the FDA grant for those basic produce boxes that we were adding stuff to since April for all of the state of Maryland for November and December. So we've been working on alternative ways of getting healthy produce. We also have friends that are working on setting up a warehouse here in Baltimore City that would make it much easier for us on a long-term basis to be able to do that ourselves. And more than a dozen different locations around the city that have been consistently helping others. So we're still working on that. Please keep an eye on your email for any future details about that. We want to make sure that you're aware. We'll have, this week I posted a variety of different resources that are available. If you know a family that is in need, you can feel free to reach out to us, but also watch that social media feed and email feed for the posts, where we are putting out a lot of different kinds of information for resources that are available to help others. We're looking forward to, again, hopefully being able to volunteer with Toys for Tots. That organization tends to be last minute, and so there, I know that they're making sorting arrangements right now. So this is always a time of year that is busy and full of activity. And I'm so thankful for the kind of church family that you are. I'm so thankful for who you are and all that you have done. With our current rise in coronavirus cases, the city restrictions are that churches cannot meet above 25% capacity. And our Safe Place team is working on a new system for trying to schedule volunteers to see what we may be able to do. And our in-person gatherings, indoors or outdoors, apart from a church worship service in a sanctuary, are limited to 10 people. And so last week you heard from Joe from the Safe Place team. We are working on an RSVP system that might make it possible for those of you that want to meet in person, wearing a mask for safety, washing hands, safe practices. We are still working on that system. So again, watch your email announcements. Our church website also has an announcement page where you can see things posted as well, cityharborchurch.com. So feel free to engage with us. If you're doing holiday shopping, remember, if you use Amazon, you can select City Harbor Church as the charity that you support for the Amazon Smile. Doesn't change the prices on any of the gifts that you give, but a lot of the things that you purchase on Amazon, or even maybe you're getting toilet paper or other things on a regular basis there, if you have selected an Amazon Smile, and I think you get started on that at smile.amazon.com, you could look up City Harbor Church as a charity that you select, and then a small amount of money from every purchase comes to us. And actually, every month we get a little bit of money from those of us who do that. My family does it. I know some of your families do as well. So obviously, this is a different kind of year, but we want to keep you informed. We want to keep you connected. Now let's turn to our time in the message for today. Allow me to pray. God, there's so much going on, and there is so much that seems uncertain in our world. We need your help. We want to find in you strength and peace. And so I ask that you would help us right now to focus on you. Help us to receive strength and encouragement from you today. Help us truly to get to know you better. I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but as a, I like to prayer walk. I like to explore the city. I like to go into places I've never been before. And so over the past several years, I've had the experience on a number of occasions of being white guy walking into a neighborhood that I've never been before, and have people kind of looking at me a little bit sideways. And with the beard, for whatever reason, a lot of times they just assume that I'm not police. And so I've been asked multiple times, who are you? Or what are you here for? And I don't know if you have ever had that experience and had to explain, I am such and such, I'm here for this. I'm here for this is actually kind of a phrase. If you are browsing the internets for funny videos to try to find a little bit of relief in these times, or maybe some good news, you might hear that slang term, I'm here for this. We have been looking at this story from Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 through 7, where the people of God had broken God's hearts by turning away from him and literally creating for themselves a golden calf, something to worship that is other than God. And this hurt God and angered God. And God, Moses pleaded to God to not punish them for it. And God brought forgiveness, but also said, hey, I'm going to send you all to this land that I've promised for you, but I'm not going to go with you personally. And Moses pleaded with God, don't send us anywhere without going with us personally. And God responded, okay, I will. And then Moses said, please, he saw this window of opportunity. Moses said, please reveal yourself to me. And this is where God came and Moses is saying, who are you? And in that, God responds, I am. And this is who I am. But God also responds, this is what I'm here for. And that's what we've been looking at. And here's what God says in describing himself. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Now, this is an unbelievable moment, a remarkable moment. And as Ben Farrell pointed out on social media this past week, there's actually been a YouTube series on the Bible Project YouTube channel about this. And a lot of times I watch your stuff. I actually have not yet seen that series. It's been kind of a busy few weeks. But this is an important, memorable One of the most remarkable stories that gives us truth about who God is and then therefore who we are. It's one of the most important of that in all of Scripture, and it gets referenced in a lot of other places. So I want to talk a little bit about this story and what it reveals to us about God, because I think we should be asking ourselves, who is God? What is God like? So if I'm asking myself, who is God? What is God like? This is how God describes himself. Now, he uses the term long-suffering, translated slow to anger. And it's literally a word picture of like a parent with a child, where a child is doing something that's not good on a repeated basis that would cause the parent to be angry and actually flare their nostrils, like angry to the point of their body is responding. Their nostrils are flaring. It's a nostril flaring worthy offense. And God is saying that he forbears that. He goes through that. He's slow to anger. He doesn't respond to anger when we're doing that sort of thing. And this is remarkable because, remember, this is right after the people for whom God had done many miracles had turned away from him, rejecting him to create something else for them to worship. God responds by, hey, this is who I am. And clearly it resonated with them. It stayed with them, because what we see in the Psalms is this repeated as a part of the language between them and God. Psalm 86, 15 and 16. You, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy. That's who you are. That's what you're here for. You're a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. Look down on and have mercy on me. Give strength to your servant. Save me. So we get this prayer from David, who is needing strength and needing forgiveness. Have you found yourself in that place this year? Have you found yourself freaking out, stressing out, maybe not doing the things that you should, maybe doing things that you shouldn't do, maybe self-medicating in ways that are unhealthy? This is how David, who needed forgiveness, who did dirt in his life, this is how he responds. He responds this way because he had learned already in his life that this is the kind of person God is. This is the kind of God that Yahweh God is. God is that kind of a God. And he quotes this related to that when he's in his place of need. And this is a good example for us to do the same thing. Now, I want to address something that we see. So we see that God is long-suffering, slow to get angry, and I want us to get that into our system, that that is who God really is. Slow to anger, right? Long-suffering. Now, what we also see here in this phrase, in this revelation, is that God describes himself as a person who will by no means clear the guilty. And I want to address that. We're going to talk about that in a couple of different ways today. But also from this, you see this description of it affecting generations. And what God is saying is that sin, this repeated sin, this lifestyle habit of sin, of rejecting God and doing bad things, it affects everybody. That's what God is saying. Now, that does not negate the forgiveness of God and the supernatural power of God's forgiveness to change, to break a cycle of, and to actually remove effects of that. Now, Pastor Ben, where are you getting this from? Actually, I'm getting this from Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 19 through 23. And if you have been following along with me on the church website, the Pastor's Daily Post, in our Read Through the Bible in a Year program, we've been going through Ezekiel lately, and it is unbelievably helpful. Just a plug on that too. Wherever you're at in your journey, every day you can hit that, cityharborchurch.com and the Pastor's Daily Post, and get a snippet from Psalms or Proverbs, some spiritual fast food, and a question and a comment from me on it. What you're going to find is, over the course of the year, I've actually pointed to brought a question about and said something about every passage of the Bible, just because I believe that it helps. I believe it helps. So let's clarify this whole generational curse idea thing, because God actually specifically addresses it. God clarifies that a person who turns to God in wholehearted devotion will not be punished for their parents' or their grandparents' sin. God actually says this, Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 19 through 23. What, you ask? Doesn't the child pay for the parents' sins? I love it when God kind of puts on our voice. No, God says, no, for if the child does what is just and right and keeps my decree, the child will surely live, meaning the child is not going to be punished for what their parents did. The person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sins, and the parent will not be punished for the child's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. But if wicked people turn away from all their sins and begin to obey my decrees and do what is just and right, they will surely live and not die. Here, God is using language to refer to his specific decree that people would come to him with wholehearted devotion. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the starting point of these commands that God is referencing here. All their past sins will be forgotten and they will live because of the righteous things they have done. Do you think that I like to see wicked people die? Says the sovereign Lord, of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. Listen, there is consistency. If you learn how to study the Bible, it's so important. We cannot twist scripture, have a shallow understanding of it, because then we come away with a shallow understanding of God and we get twisted. There are not contradictions in scripture. There are truths that are held in tension, that have depth and that have nuance, and this is one of those. But what God clearly says is that if you repent, if you confess where you've been wrong and turn away from that wrong, you will receive forgiveness. If your parents or your grandparents did wrong, and they didn't repent and turn from their sin, they will be punished for that. But if you repent of and turn from your sin, you will be forgiven. You will not be punished for their sins. But what God is saying in Exodus 34 and in Ezekiel 18 is that if you refuse to confess where you're wrong, apologize for it, turn from it, you're going to be punished. And if you do confess your wrong, turn from it, receive God's forgiveness, you will be forgiven. So just want to help that comment, that question about the generational curse about this. Now, let's focus on the most important thing that God is communicating here, which is in literally every book of the Bible. Through Jesus Christ, God did what was needed to repair the damage that our mistakes did to the relationship. This is really important for us to understand. This idea of righteousness is when our relationship is in right standing. It's good. It's peaceful. It's consistent and has integrity in our relationship between us and God or our relationship between us and people. It means that we are not doing things that would be out of alignment for the relationship, out of characteristics. We don't have a trusting, safe, close, familiar relationship, and then we're stealing possessions from each other or gossiping about each other, lying about each other. We're not going to do those kinds of things. When we do those kinds of things, it brings damage to the relationship. Or say, for example, as a father, if I am not making sure that there is provision for my family, I'm not doing the right thing. I'm not making sure that we have a place, we have food, we have protection, then I'm making a mistake, and a mistake that is outside of what the relationship should look like. And what Jesus did between us and God was bring a needed repair to the damage that our mistakes did to the relationship with God. And so it's important for us to understand that, because we can make mistakes and then not address them, not seek amends, not make it right, and it has the potential to break the relationship. Now, let's talk specifically about what Jesus did that brings fulfillment to this verse where God describes himself and the forgiveness that's available to us today. Peter, who personally betrayed Jesus, who made mistakes, who personally betrayed Jesus three times, even after all that Jesus had done for him, here's what he found to be true about God through Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Speaking of Jesus, he, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Peter is referencing the prophecy in Isaiah 53 that Jesus fulfilled by taking on himself our sins. God putting on Jesus our sins, all people, all time, so that we can receive forgiveness. Now that's where we get this definition. This word forgiving means to lift, to take someone else's burden on yourself. That's what it literally means, this forgiveness word that God is saying, I forgive. He's saying, I lift off of you these things. And isn't that what it's like? When we make mistakes and they're not addressed and we are carrying them around, we feel heavy, don't we? We feel heavy. There's a heaviness to it. And what God is saying is that I lift those things from you. I pick them up off of you. And I want you today to receive this lifting off of your heavy burdens, of the mistakes that you've made, of the guilt from the past, of the shame, of the sorrow of it. I want you to experience God lifting those things off of you today. Now, if I'm going to experience God lifting those things off of me, how exactly does that work? Well, John, who was a follower of Jesus, a close follower of Jesus, and who also had his own mistakes forgiven and who God revealed truth to, John writes this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Watch that now. If we, then he, right? If we do this, if we claim we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us. In a same word here, it's a lifting off of us our sins and a spiritual cleansing. That's what happens. That's what happens. And listen, right now, especially through 2020, in the morning, what I'm doing right now personally, as the sun is coming up, I am spending a quiet moment to thank God for my salvation, to thank God that he has lifted off of me the sins that I have confessed and he has brought spiritual cleansing to me. That's something that I'm doing every day. And Jesus taught us not about things that were impossible, but about things that were possible. And he taught us to pray, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Now, we should be daily using that power tool, seeking the forgiveness that comes from God. Now, we also see in David's own prayer, in going back to Psalm 86, that David understood this about what he had learned about God to be true. Oh Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. It was a transformational truth that David had experienced that was real to him, that was helpful to him. And so much so that even his son, the second-born son of his immoral affair with his mother Bathsheba, Solomon, his son who had seen the effects of mistakes, of his father's immorality, promiscuity, and murder, his son Solomon saw this lesson so powerfully in his father's life that at one of the most important moments in the history of the nation of Israel, they had completed the temple, a place of worship, a place of meeting with the presence of God. At that dedication prayer of the temple, what happens? Solomon prays this to God in bringing the people into a committed love relationship with God, praying to God, may you hear the humble and earnest requests from me and your people Israel when we pray toward this place, in this place of meeting. Yes, hear us from heaven where you live. And when you hear, forgive. And again, the same word, lift from us our sins. Now let's go, just so we have a clear understanding of what God is saying, because I think this is so very powerful, so very helpful for us. I want us to look at the three words that God is saying, what he forgives. God is saying that he forgives these three different forms of our mistakes that cause us to be guilty. So first, the word we see there is iniquity. Now that word is translated as wickedness, perversity, where there's something twisted in our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, mischief, and so here are the three things that God is saying that he forgives. The first is iniquity. Now, iniquity could be translated as wickedness, perversity, which is where there's a twisted nature to what we're thinking or feeling or doing. There's something twisted about it. Mischief or a fault, that would be iniquity. God's saying he can lift that from us. Now, what we also see God forgiving is, and this is God saying, this is who I am, this is what I'm here for, transgression. Now, transgression would be translated as rebellion, trespass, doing something that is against, that breaks the agreement, the nature of the relationship. And then third is the word sin, which is a missing the mark. But it is also in this particular word, sin word is habitual. So it's habitual sin. And really what we see, if you use scripture to interpret scripture and dig a little bit deeper, what you see God saying here with these three different words is, I forgive your one-time mistakes. I forgive your one-time mistakes. And then I forgive when you, after that one first-time mistake, you then repeat that mistake. It becomes a repeated mistake, a fault. But then I also forgive when it becomes habitual. So think about this. God is saying, I lift from you the guilt of the damage to our relationship from when your original incident leads to turning away from relationship with me and then a lifestyle of refusing me. Think about how the people who hurt, what this meant. It's so important for us if we want to have good, sound, reliable understanding. It's so critical for us to think about what this meant to the people to whom God was speaking. God had done, he had rescued them from slavery in Egypt. He was providing them a land of promise and a land of opportunity. They had refused his instruction for life, and they had rejected him in favor of creating, putting all of their earrings and necklaces and bracelets into be melted down to create a statue, a gold statue of a calf that they were going to worship, like people from other nations creating things that they would worship. That's how they had treated God. And what God was saying in response to his people is, I am a God who forgives, who lifts off of you the damage from, the guilt from, when your one-time mistake leads to repeated mistakes, a lifestyle habit of mistakes and turning away from me and rejecting me. That is powerful. So don't tell me that you have made mistakes that God can't forgive, that there is damage in your relationship with God that is beyond the reach of God. Don't tell me that. I myself, years ago, was in a place where my mistakes were out of control. I did not have self-control over my mistakes. It just seemed like whenever I was tempted to do that thing again, that's where I was going. That's what I was going to do. That's where I was going. That's what I was going to do. It just seemed like there was no hope for it. And even there was a time where I started to desire to do the right thing, but I found myself not able to do the right thing. It's a good time to read Romans chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 for some hope found in Jesus. So I've been there before, and I've been at a place where in my mind, in the reason of my mind, I couldn't wrap my brain around the fact that it was possible that God could forgive me. So if you find yourself in that place, You're not alone. You are not alone. God can forgive you. God can lift from you your guilt from your one-time mistakes, your repeated mistakes, your bad habits, hurts, hang-ups, your lifestyle of turning away. God can do that. He can. What do we do? Well, wait, let's just stop and capture. What do we learn from this? Okay? Let's stop and capture. What do we learn from this? Well, what we learn... So what do we learn from this? We learn that God is slow to anger and constantly forgiving. Come on, think about that. Let it sink in. God does not have a hair trigger quick to snap with anger at us when we make mistakes. That's not who God is. God has said this, he's not like that, and God has proven over and over and over through history, through the stories of literally millions of people recorded in scripture and in human history, that he is slow to get angry. God is slow to anger and constantly forgiving. And we've learned what that means. That means God said himself, he's lifting up off of us our one-time offense, our repeated mistake and our habits, that iniquity, transgression, and sin. That's who God is. God says, this is who I am. This is what I'm here for. God is here for this. God is here for this. God is here to forgive us, cleanse us spiritually, give us new life and a new heart. So what should we do about this? Well, number one, what is very clear, clearly described over and over in Scripture, is that we are to believe, repent, and receive. We are to believe, repent, and receive. And what that means is I'm going to believe that Jesus is Savior. Jesus can be my Savior. And unpacking all that that means. And if you're new to this journey, we want to send you a purple book, which has a great, really well-organized 52 lessons with questions and then scripture references that you can look up and consider the answers to those questions. And we want to make available to you someone who would walk with you, maybe 15 minutes once a week over the course of the year, so that you can learn about what that means and what we believe. Why do we believe that Jesus is Savior? So believe that Jesus is Savior. Repent. Repent means that I'm going to apologize. I'm going to confess where I have been wrong, where I've done the wrong thing, maybe where I've not done the right thing. I'm going to confess that. I'm going to tell, God already knows, but I'm going to make a point of confession to say, God, this is what I've done that's wrong. This is where there is wrong inside of me. And then I'm going to apologize. And this is what an apology looks like. God, this is what I have done that was wrong. This is the damage that it has caused. Please forgive me. I need your forgiveness. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me spiritually. Please take away my guilt. Please give me the strength to make a change in my behavior. With your help, I make a commitment to change my behavior. That's what an apology looks like. And then that's also how we have hope that we can make a turnaround. Repent means to turn around. I was going this way, living a me-first lifestyle, and now because of the grace of Jesus, I abandon that me-first lifestyle, and I turn towards a life of loving God with the best of my energy and showing love to other people. So that's what repentance means. I'm going to make an apology, and I'm going to have a turnaround. And then I'm going to receive not only Jesus as Savior, but also the forgiveness and everything that that means. And truly, everyone who identifies as a Christian, as a Jesus follower, should be every day talking through these things with God. Believing Jesus as Savior, repenting of our sins, receiving the forgiveness of God. Jesus thought this was pretty important. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, "You will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God." Jesus made it very clear what our actions should be. Now, number two, what should we do about all this? Well, we should give thanks. This is the season of giving thanks. Medical and mental health surveys, studies, scientific studies have shown that if a person will write a gratitude list and go through it to give thanks for it once a day for 5 weeks, that the various measurable aspects of their physical health and their mental health are improved at the end of the 5 weeks. There has never been a time for now to the rest of the end of this calendar year for you to try it out. Give thanks. Here's what Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 through 7 says. Very powerful truth for us. Don't worry. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So much to unpack there. Really helpful truth. Giving thanks is an essential part of experiencing peace from God that goes beyond the things that you are currently understanding. Meaning the peace goes through all that you have the capacity to understand and stress about, and it goes beyond that. It is greater than everything that you're taking in. Everything that you are worried about, God's peace is greater than that. But giving thanks is an essential part of that process. What should we do about this long-suffering, slow to anger, forgiving God truth we've just learned about? Number three, share your story. Experiencing truth, learning truth, is not really fulfilled until you share it with somebody else. This is a powerful truth that I want you to get. John, who we spoke about earlier, a follower of Jesus, was given a vision by God of believers in the future, from John's perspective, that would be walking in victory prior to the return of Jesus, and then how it was going to be culminated, fulfilled on the return of Jesus. And in that, he sees, as they're walking in the victory of Jesus, how they did it. And here's what he sees in the vision from God, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They defeated him, that's the enemy. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, in other words, the powerful sacrifice of Jesus over sin and death. They defeated him by what Jesus had accomplished and by their testimony. If you're not sharing your story on a regular basis with someone about the power of the forgiveness of your own sins in your own life, you're going to get dry in your relationship with God. And your gratitude level is going to go down, and the stress and the worries of this world are going to overwhelm you. It is essential for your mental health, for your spiritual health, that you are regularly staying close to what your salvation means, to what you being forgiven of your mistakes means, and that you are telling somebody about it, that you're living the truth in your life and you're telling somebody about it. Listen, God has placed you near someone who needs this message. God has placed you near someone who needs to see the evidence of this truth actively at work in your life. This is powerful. This is helpful. You need it. Now listen, I don't know where you're at today, so let's just spend a little bit of time in prayer in response to this, okay? If you have mistakes, you have sin, you have guilt, I want you to bring it to God and allow God to lift it from you right here, right now, okay? God, we come to you here and now, and we lift up to you the mistakes that we have made in this life. We confess we have been wrong. We have done the wrong thing. We have thought the wrong things. We have not been healthy in a mental way, in a spiritual way. We have done things that are out of alignment with the relationship with you. Please forgive us, God, for where we have been wrong. Please forgive us for our sins. We've done it. It's damaged our relationship with you. Please lift up off of us our sins and the guilt. Please repair the damage that it's done to ourselves, the damage that it's done to our relationship with you. Please lift that up. Please bring a restoration. Please forgive us of our sins. Please forgive us. Wash us clean spiritually. Remove our guilt, Lord. Make a way for us to be in right relationship with you. And God, give us the strength to live in new ways. Give us the strength to live right. I thank you, God, that this is who you are. This is what you are about. God, would you please forgive us, Lord? Would you please help us to experience it and to be thankful for it. Lord, give us a fresh resolve to every day be in conversation with you about this, to every day being sharing it with other people. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in us, around us, and through us, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is so good. I hope that this is helpful to you. Let's go to our time of worship.